Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guests on this episode are Jamie Cheller and Leah Stanhope of the band Congratulations. The group has just released its debut album, Join Hands, on the Bella Union label, and will kick off a tour in the UK shortly. We discuss the group's origins, their sense of humor, and the diverse musical backgrounds of all four members. That's Jamie Cheller and Leah Stanhope of Congratulations on Into Music, coming up now. This is not your first band. You've been in other bands. What brought all of you together?
Yeah, we definitely did. So James and I, the drummer, we were in a separate band with a very still close friend, and we essentially ended that band so we could start playing with Greg. Essentially, it was all very fine, and we chatted about it and stuff. But yeah, we sort of morphed into this band, and then it became very clear quite quickly that we needed a vocalist, and then enter Leah onto the scene. Yeah.
How were you aware of Leah? Or Leah, how were you aware of them?
Basically, Jamie's sister is my best mate. And she was like, oh, my brother's got this band. Do you want to be in this band? And I was like, yeah, all right.
Well, you'd just come out of another band, hadn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For context.
Poorly.
Yeah, for context, I lockdown took its toll on all of us in different ways. And yeah, I left a music project just feeling really down and out and pretty done with music. And yeah, Jamie came along and I was sort of reluctant to join. I think you got that vibe that I was like, oh, yeah, send the demo. And then I played it. It was like, yes, I'll be in the band. Yes, very nice. I will do that, please. Yes, thank you.
Part of the reason I'm asking about this is because it strikes me that the music that you make has got this like just energy that's almost and I don't mean this in a negative sense at all, almost like the kind of energy that beginning musicians have, where it's like this excitement, exuberance, happiness. And so it's kind of wondering like where that came from.
Yeah, that's so funny you should say that, because I mean the previous band before the one I was in with James, that was so dark and depressing and kind of ghoulish. And your previous band, Leah, as well, was nothing like it either,
no,
right?
No, I was in a tech metal band before I joined this one, so, yeah.
And James was in a metal band. Greg was in a garage two-piece, and that was quite heavy as well. So, yeah, it's funny how we all sort of moved through that, and then we could write stuff in more of a major key, you know?
In a normal time signature.
Well, I'm not sure about that. But we try and hide it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's funny, because I think a lot of times, like, maybe when people are thinking about putting together a band, they'll sit down and they'll say, okay, you know, we're going to kind of go this direction. And then as soon as they start writing, that just goes all out the window, because it's four new people in a room and ideas are bouncing around in a way that didn't exist before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've always been the sum of all of our influences, which are many. And it's the push and pull of all those ideas. What you use such a great phrase, Leah, about the...
Oh, yeah. So if we're like, if we're writing a track and the track is a person, we're all holding onto a limb trying to like pull it in our direction, and quite ferociously at times. And yeah, that's just how I sort of see each track, is we're all trying to just drag it over our own line, I think.
Yeah, I can imagine the person is the song being, and it's like horses running in the
yeah.
other direction.
Yeah.
Each song's being, well, you said it once. You said each song's being drawn and quartered, something like that.
That's funny. I heard a wonderful analogy yesterday around that, about when you have like too small of a blanket on your bed and you're trying to like sort it, so that you've got enough coverage.
Yeah, that's so funny. And the bed is a big Venn diagram of all the different influences and ideas that we have, and it just sort of goes around.
That's like the thing, right? That I love is that there's like precedent for the music. Like there's stuff that's familiar, and yet those combinations make it something new, in the process. Were you how quickly were you aware of that when you started writing? Like, oh, this is different.
I mean, your writing style, Jamie's writing style is super, I would say it's quite unusual, and it's his the like raw track that he'll bring or piece of music he'll bring to the table is sometimes like I would say we have to sit there and sometimes decode it a little bit because it is literally, truly like it's very, very like unique and sort of like we're decoding all the parts to work out, right? Oh, okay, is that do you want me to sing high there, or is that, and it sort of comes from that really.
Yeah, it's like picking it. It's like the amazing thing about this band, from my point of view anyway, is that I've said this before, the other three are really exceptional at their instruments. So it's amazing bringing an idea and then having three people that are pros in their field and their discipline take it and play it as it should be played rather than my interpretation of it. But it's interesting. They'll interpret this weird, this strange thing, make it sound amazing, but it is got this weird twist on it. And if I listen to Prince one day and the guitar is in a Prince style, but then I thought, oh no, I want it on a, this is a rock track, so we're gonna do that guitar, but we're gonna have it in a rock style. It's all these combinations. I think it's just so fun. It's a collage.
Yeah.
How much kind of formal training is there in the band? Like, how much is there like actually where you can kind of like speak the language of music, and how much of it is just sort of more intuitive?
I
We
mean,
did study, all four of us studied
yeah.
music. James is definitely the most technical at his, he's the drummer. He's very, very drum focused and technique, everything, the theory, he's got that. I think Leah, I think you're actually a real close second there for for vocal technique though, I
Oh,
would
thank
say.
you. I mean, yeah, I mean, as far as actual training and stuff, though, I've only had what we had at uni, and our course was quite, it was contemporary professional musicianship, so it wasn't really bogged down in the theory too much, and so I think it comes from that as well. I don't know. It's I wouldn't say I wasn't trained at all. I think I'd like to experiment, and I do think about the voice a lot, so I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. It's very nice. But yeah, it sort
Yeah,
of comes from that really.
yeah, absolutely. And I think Greg has a fa he's the other songwriter in the band. He's just got a fantastic ear. I've watched him work and work things out. I think, oh, that'd take me hours, absolutely hours, the way how quickly he can work things out. And I just have a strange brain. And I think all the theory and the training came later for me. So that piled on top in a really strange way, whereas we know a lot of people that learn theory upwards, and like you say, they can speak the language very clearly. I wouldn't say that's one thing that we can necessarily do in our band, but I think
Yeah.
that's a
Yeah.
strength.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's always curious to me, because I hear these stories of you'll have somebody who was taking classical guitar lessons at age 8, and the other guitarist like doesn't know the names of the strings or something,
Yeah. We're somewhere in the middle of that. I think there are some really basic things that some of us are probably like, don't know, and
Yeah.
then some really complicated things that we know inside and out. So the discrepancies.
Leah, I wanted to just ask you about this program of study. Was professional musicianship?
Yeah.
Okay, so is this like more of a practical thing where they kind of teach you like here's how you get a gig, blah blah blah.
Yes and no. I mean, it really depended as time went on. It's through the years you got to sort of choose what you wanted to do. But I think it's sort of so hard thinking back about it because it was such a weird time. But essentially, it was more in the sort of how to sell yourself, maybe as a session musician, things like that. Exploring all the different roles that a performer can have outside of just doing your own original music. So it was like understanding style and understanding the history and like the cultural relevance of certain like movements and things like that. There were theory elements, but it was definitely more rooted for me personally through my choices in performance and like that expression, really.
Oh, interesting. Because I mean, if you're out there and you're just working, you never know what you might get called for or something. So if you have that in your repertoire.
Yeah, I knew straight away though I really don't like doing it for other people. I try so many times and I get to the point like Jamie and James both do session work on the side and you do like function work, don't you, and things like that. But I always get to the point where they send the track listing and I'm like, oh, I don't want to sing that.
Yeah, no, it's really fair.
That's what I
It's really
think.
fair.
Jamie, it sounds like a lot of things kind of start with you and then it builds from there. Leah, how quickly do kind of like lyrical ideas sort of hit you when you start hearing the music?
Sometimes it's really easy, sometimes it's really hard. When Jamie brings a piece of music, he might have a fully realized section of a song with lyrics and a vocal track, sometimes harmony as well. That can be difficult, can't it? Because once you've got the melody and the lyrics in your head, it's hard to like push past that and look through. I've always really struggled with that. And then what you might find from Greg bringing a track to us is it's definitely more unfinished, but more complete in its beginning to end. And he might just chuck a little tasteful little ad lib across the whole thing and just be like, something like that, get something like that. And I find that a lot easier. And then me and you, Jamie, will, if we're working on one of Greg's tracks, it's easy for us to bounce off each other. But I think once we've both heard something that's already written, it's hard to you sort of almost have to just delete it and not think about it. Otherwise, it's really hard to like push through it. I don't know.
This is it. We either run with the idea, we like it, or it's we delete it and we start again, essentially. I would say most of the time we do run with what's there. It does fit, but like I was saying earlier, there's always a decoding and a reinterpretation, which is, to be expected from a real vocalist.
So how did you settle on the songs that make up the album, because presumably you've got other material out there, but what made this like the right batch?
Our EP Slap that we put out last year, we actually recorded that batch of songs at the same time. So we were working on about 15 tracks, 15 or 16. A couple of them we left and we haven't revisited them. But we just sort of knew that Join Hands felt a little bit more, well, just happy in its theme, a little bit more exuberant. And the tracks on Slap felt a little bit darker, a little bit more experimental, so it was quite easy in the end to portion them off. And the running order for Join Hands was quite evident quite quickly. As soon as we heard the first track, Never Gonna, when Greg brought it to us, it was very clear that was going to be track one. I could just picture the needle dropping on the vinyl, and then the first sort of keyboard sound. And the last track as well, Greg wrote that too, and it was very clear that would be the ending. So it all presented itself quite nicely.
Of course, there's this element of humor in the lyrics, and it seems like this is just a continuation of who you are as people. Because sometimes I'll hear music that's humor based, and the people are rather dour or something. It's like they use all that for their songwriting.
They've got nothing left. No humor left.
I think we're always trying to make each other laugh. Like that has always been at the heart of everything, even like performing live and stuff. I think we're always just trying to like crack a smile from somebody, like one of us, aren't we? I think it really does start with that. I remember like during recording Join Hands, there was a lot of times where we were just like chucking stuff in and seeing if it would make someone laugh, or it was nice, wasn't
Yeah, this
it?
is it. You know, when things are still rolling, there are so many little Easter eggs just for us that are buried in the album. On one of the songs, City Boy, there's someone screaming or laughing, and we pitched it up, and then we laughed that it sounded like R2D2 falling down the stairs, and we were like, we have to leave it here, you know, things like that. And no one else will hear that. No one will ever register that. But every time I hear it, I think that's my favorite bit. It's
Yeah,
so
nice.
so
Leave
funny.
that
Yeah.
in.
So what about kind of like live? Like how to what extent have you been able to kind of like tour, perform live and test this stuff out, and what are kind of like your hopes for that in the future?
We've gigged quite relentlessly since 2023. We've done lots and lots of shows, and I think you'd agree, Leah, that's our strength. That's the thing we really pride ourselves on. But it's very interesting because a lot of the songs previously we've road tested them and played them and then gone and recorded them, whereas this time they were very much written within the Logic Project, within the demos. So now we're doing it the reverse, and I've read of so many, you know, huge bands writing, you know, without the live show in mind and then scratching their heads how to do it live. And you know, they have a huge budget. We're trying to figure it out on a sort of from a DIY point of view. So it is quite interesting, you know, our ambition versus the reality. So we're in rehearsals right now. So we're yeah, it's cool. It's a new challenge for us, I think, to have
Wow.
to figure all this out. Because our tour starts in, was it Leah? Like 4 weeks? End
Yeah,
of February.
I was very smart and I got the note up ready so that we could say, one moment, please. It starts on the 24th of February in York.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I knew it was the end of February. So yeah, we have a UK tour post the album coming out. So yeah, we're excited.
I'm very excited to play that.
You've been listening to a conversation with Jamie Cheller and Leah Stanhope of the band Congratulations. Their debut album, Join Hands, is out now. You can learn more about the quartet via their official website, congratulationsband.com. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson.